Welcome, everybody, to the 4130 Show. My name is AJ Gretz. I'm lead pastor here at South Granville Church in beautiful Granville, Michigan. With me, as always, my co-host, Ben Netz.
Hey, everybody.
And we are excited to have you with us, excited if you're a first-time listener especially. We're making this podcast for a couple of reasons. One, we want to provide something to help continue the conversation that we have on Sunday mornings. So this is a way for you to continue to think about some of the ideas that we talked about in the sermon and throughout worship on Sunday. But we're also making this as a way to kind of provide a window into our church and to into the faith in general. So if you're asking questions about Christianity, you're kind of wondering where you stand spiritually, this is an opportunity for you to just kind of listen as we figure out what it means to follow Jesus. So before we get into our main topic for today, Ben, I want to ask you a question. We talked on Sunday about convenience food and fast food especially. I admitted that I'm a big fan of Wendy's spicy chicken nuggets, and I'm curious if you've got a convenience food or a fast food that you're willing to admit into a microphone that you really enjoy.
I will admit, there has been times on the way home I've grabbed just McDonald's French fries. Just the fries.
Is that the whole meal?
That's the whole meal. Yeah, a large fry, nothing else. Maybe a Coke.
Yeah. No, there's no shame in that. That's a classic standby. I'm trying to think if there's anything else for me. I do love Taco Bell, and I do love Taco Bell after dinner as a second dinner. It does not always love me back, but I think that's true for pretty much everybody.
Pretty much. You know, there's one other thing that's not really convenient that I guess I'll admit to, and that's pretty much deep fried anything. The Hudsonville Fair has some wagons coming to town, and they've got deep-fried Twinkies, deep-fried Oreos, deep-fried pickles, deep-fried cauliflower. I guess that's one way to get your vegetables.
That's true. Have you had the deep-fried butter?
No.
There's still time.
There's next time, yeah.
But not too much time if you're going to keep eating deep-fried stuff.
That's right.
So this week, we are reading from the book of Acts, and we're going to finish chapter 2. So, Ben, if you want to read our passage that we looked at this week, it's Acts 2, verses 42 through 47.
They devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
So in the sermon this week, we talked about how hard it is for us to make and maintain the kind of relationships that we see in the early church. That we live in a culture where a lot of people are very busy and, again, kind of drawn to convenience. And so that extends to our relationships with each other as well. Oftentimes, we want to have a deeper and better connection with people, and yet we find it difficult to find the time or the energy to be able to do that. So we looked at this passage, and we looked at God's ideal for community. And we want to recognize that this is very much the early church in the honeymoon phase. They're new, and many of them are very excited about their faith. And so they're really dedicated to each other. And when Luke says that they were devoted to those four things, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer, really, overall, he's kind of showing how deeply connected they were and how integrated into one another's lives they were. When he says that they're devoted to fellowship, that's the Greek word koinonia, which really captures that sense of connection and, frankly, a depth of relationship that is foreign to a lot of us as Westerners and especially as Americans. So we talked about this vision for what church and what community can be, and really try to just ask, what's one step, what's one thing that we can each do to kind of help enhance our life together as a church? Because as Luke says at the end, it's not only about how we treat each other, but our relationships can also, in fact, be part of our witness as people from the community see the kind of strength of community we have and are led to be drawn into that. So, Ben, I'm curious, what are some challenges to having strong relationships at this stage in your life? You're a little bit older than me. Your kids are a bit older. What is it that makes community and good relationships difficult for you right now?
I've got three little kids at home, 12, 7, and 9. And we're just running everywhere all the time. And they're not really into sports or anything else. It's just the busyness of having school-aged kids. So finding a night that you're not helping with homework or running someone to a friend's house or something else, that's difficult.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, my kids are younger than that, and yet we still feel a lot of the same pressure. And I would say almost more than time right now, it's an energy thing, that by the time the kids are in bed and work stuff is finished, the idea of even making a phone call can be kind of daunting sometimes, that it just feels like there's not a lot of energy to give to other people. And I recognize that some of our listeners might be in a very different place of life, maybe single or an empty nester. But I think some of the same struggles are there, where it's just hard to find the energy to get across town to see somebody, or to, have that phone call or a Skype conversation. It can be draining, especially if you're working full time.
Yeah, especially if you're working full time. A lot of times these days, full time isn't just 40 hours, it's 45 or 50.
Right. Plus whatever commuting you're doing, plus right. whatever extracurricular stuff you've got.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you think it's harder for men in our culture to have close relationships, or do you think it's kind of the same either way?
I don't know. I think the traditionalist in me would probably say, yeah, of course it's harder because guys don't share their feelings. Mm-hmm. But I think we've come a long way. But I also think that men probably put that priority pretty low on the list. We're more about just getting things done, I think, rather than, you know, buddying up with somebody and palling around.
Sure, sure. I remember this conversation with my father-in-law right after we got married. He's a very relational person, and I like to think I'm a very relational person. And he said, I remember this, he said, prepare to be disappointed by guys for a lot of your life. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, a lot of guys will not make it a priority the same way that you're willing to make it a priority. And he said, that's been my experience, and I bet that's going to be your experience too. And I think that's true, that it's not that a lot of guys don't want that. It's just maybe they don't know how to make it a priority, or it's just really easy for them to get caught up in the work stuff and taking care of the house and whatever kind of task-oriented things that are needed.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone ever looks down on a guy who doesn't have a bunch of guy friends. I think they just say, well, that guy's busy.
Yeah.
He works a lot.
Yeah.
He's got a family with a bunch of kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. When you were listening to the sermon, was there anything that stuck out to you thinking about your family, or just even for yourself, where you say, boy, this is something I feel challenged about, something I want to be able to do a little bit more of?
Yeah, you know, it's that quality time instead of quantity time. Hmm. Sometimes we'll be at home and we're around with the kids and they're off doing their own thing and we're doing whatever. Mm-hmm. But is that really quality time? So yeah. Taking those extra moments, maybe an hour to bring one kid out to McDonald's for some fries.
Right, right.
Just being really intent with how we spend our time at home with each other.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And I think that, again, gets back to that energy thing, that sometimes my kids are awake and running around, and it's like all I want to do is look at ESPN and just be invisible, you know?
Right.
And then later I feel like, man, I'm missing it. I'm missing on
sure.
this season of life when they are home more and they are more interested in me and what I have to say. How about in terms of friendship or maybe even family relationships outside of your own kids? Was there anything that you or maybe you and your wife were talking about that you're like, yeah, that's something I want to be working on as well?
Yeah, for sure. Anytime we can get out and away from the kids, I think is healthy, not only for us, but for the kids too. When mom and dad aren't burnt out on just being parents, when they can get a little break and be excited about coming back home and seeing their kids again, that breathes new life into our family.
Yeah, it strengthens the relationship. distance makes the heart
grow fonder.
Right. And you know, one of the things I was struck by was the multiple references to people eating together. And in the early church, this kind of practice of hospitality that seems really important to them. And, you know, that's such an easy thing in a lot of ways. But it's also, again, one of those things that falls by the wayside really quickly. And, you know, for us, we can think of all kinds of excuses, like our kids won't sit at the table. Our house is a mess, you know, but we've got a grill and lawn chairs. And I don't know. I don't think it has to be as hard as we make it sometimes just to invite somebody over for dinner. And you know, an hour or 2 hours is plenty. It's mm-hmm. enough to feel like an adult and to feel like you have a connection with somebody. But that doesn't mean they have to stay till 11, 12 o'clock at night either.
That's true. Yeah, it can be really simple, you know, just a couple hours on a Wednesday night or a Saturday afternoon to watch a football game. Could be real simple.
Yeah.
So, AJ, we're at that time again in the podcast where I ask you some questions. And one of the questions we always like to ask is there anything that didn't make it into Sunday's sermon?
Yes and no. There was a lot of different things we could have talked about. I touched really briefly on, I think it's verse 45, the idea that they were sharing possessions together. But that really could be its own sermon, our relationship to our stuff. And, you know, such a countercultural way of thinking about money and property and possessions in the early church. One of the things that I found when I was reading is that really throughout church history, people have wrestled with this picture in Acts and kind of wondered, like, is this for us or how prescriptive is this for everybody? And most people have come down saying, look, it's not that owning stuff is wrong. And in fact, the early church benefited from people who had private housing. And there were, you know, quote unquote benefactors who were able to bankroll some of the mission trips and some of the stuff that was happening in the early church. So it's not that wealth and possessions are bad, but it's so easy for us to start viewing them as ours and something that we have earned or deserve or something that is self-serving instead of looking at it as a gift from God and saying, what does God want me to do with this right now? Is this for me, for my family? Or is there some way that I can use what I've been given to be a blessing to others? So everybody has to draw that line in a different place. And there's no kind of cut and dry answers about when am I being generous and maybe when am I holding too tightly to what I have. But I think that's a really rich conversation that we'll probably have to have at some point as a church. It just didn't, there wasn't a lot of time for it this time.
That makes me think of something, AJ. What about people who don't have a lot of things? Maybe all they have is three cats at home and four sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that person doesn't have a lot of possessions to share with others, but what are some things that they could be sharing?
Well, first of all, thanks for looking in my closet. I think thinking of your time and your energy as a resource can be really helpful too. So maybe, yeah, you don't have a lot of wealth or a lot of possessions necessarily, but everybody has gifts to offer. Everybody has experiences that they can share that others would benefit from. And I think time and energy are things that we can also be guilty of hoarding or holding too tightly onto and saying, this is for me, when really God is saying, no, I'll give you what you need if you would look around you and see how you can be a blessing to somebody else. Again, even if you don't have a whole lot of money.
Sure. So we've got a little bit of a week ahead of us here before next Sunday. Are there some things you'd like to challenge us with, something to think about during this week?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I took away from this passage was the need to revisit my schedule and just ask, are there obstacles or barriers to better relationships, you know, with people in church and out of church? Are there things that I need to cut back on, ways that I could prioritize some time and energy to be able to put into a relationship? You know, or then is there some kind of low-hanging fruit right now, like neighbors that we are starting to get to know? again, it's still warm enough to turn on the grill. We don't even have to have people in our house necessarily, but it's an easy way to kind of strengthen that relationship. So I think looking at your schedule with a critical eye and just saying, is there any room? Is there any room for me to spend some time with other people? And if not, is God asking me to do something about that? Is there something that needs to get cut or some conversation we need to have as a family to slow down our pace of life?
So next Sunday, is there anything you want to prep us with? Some things that we can be thinking about before we go in to hear the Word of God?
So yeah, this week we're going to read through Acts chapter 3, which tells the story of Peter and John. They go to the temple and they see a guy who hasn't been able to walk, I think, his whole life. And they offer to heal him in Jesus' name. So we're going to be talking about healing and talking about maybe expecting things that are unexpected in Jesus, but then also how those things are meant to point people to Jesus, that it's not about us and it's not even about kind of our physical circumstances, but it's a sign. It's a sign that Jesus is on the throne, that sin is overcome, and that he's at work to bring redemption into the world. So all really interesting topics. And, you know, in our tradition, in the Reformed tradition, we tend to shy away a little bit from talking about the miraculous or what it means to be in tune with the Holy Spirit in that way. So I'm excited to see how our congregation responds and excited to kind of tease out what it means for us in our tradition to practice this kind of faith as well.
Sounds great. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, you can head over to our website. It's, should I say, www? People just, they don't still do that, do they?
I think people don't know what that means anymore.
I could just start saying HHH.
Yeah, there you
see
go.
See what happens. Yeah. Check us out on our website, hhhsouthgrandvillechurch.org or O-R-G.
We also have an email address, the4130show@southgranvillechurch.org. That's a good way to get a hold of us. And, you know, we've never done this before, but if we get something interesting, we'd be happy to respond to it on air. So you too could be a podcast celebrity.
How great would that be?
Well, that's it for this week. For Ben Netz, I'm AJ Gretz. I want to say thank you for listening. And again, feel welcome to join us at South Granville Church anytime. Everybody's welcome. And we want to be a place for you to figure out what it means to follow Jesus. Talking is hard.
Talking is really hard, especially when computers are listening. Stop it.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
The NSA is listening.
They probably are.